you will please open your Bibles to Psalm 73. I would like to preach from the Old Testament this morning. I have a very interesting passage that I would like to go over with you. You know, David was not the author of every single psalm. This particular psalm was authored by a man named Asaph, and we're going to read of his experiences. This man almost, I repeat, he almost backslid. We read of in the Bible people that did backslide. But in this particular case, we're going to read of a man that almost backslid. Very interesting section of the Bible, I feel. So if you're at Psalm 73, you might want to follow along with me. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggle. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? This is what the wicked are like, always carefree. They increase in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In vain I have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. If I had said I will speak thus, I would have betrayed this generation of your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me, so I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terror. As a dream when one awakens, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and after you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And being with you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. You know, in the New Testament, we read of a man named Demas, who labored with the Apostle Paul, and after a period of time, he was laboring with the Apostle Paul for at least 4 years. And I know that because in the book of Colossians, he is cited as a laborer with the Apostle Paul, and when that book was written, if you figure out when it was supposedly written, and when we find out the last time that Paul wrote, which was 2 Timothy, and in chapter 4, we read of Demas once again, a four-year time span had come, and Demas, according to what Paul said, forsook him and went to Thessalonica because of love of this present world. So Demas is a man that backslid, and we know that the prodigal son was in the presence of the father, and he walked away. He wanted to go after the prostitutes, so he backslid. But in this particular psalm, a very interesting one, I feel indeed, we learn of a man that almost slipped by his own admission. He said, verse 2, but as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. And then he tells us why. And this is very interesting to me because it shows me that the devil doesn't only use certain types of temptation against us, like unforgiveness and pride and hatred and adultery and lying and greed. He also uses the wicked, and he tries to get us to envy them, to envy the wicked. You would be surprised how frequently I hear where people will open up and they'll tell me exactly the same kind of story, in essence, that we just read here this morning, where they notice, well, look at the ungodly over here. It seems like they have it better than we do. This doesn't seem just. How can this be? Why does God allow all this to happen? Well, this morning I hope after the end of this message that some of these questions will be answered for you. I want you, please, first of all, to notice verse 1, however. This is the conclusion of Asaph after he came to his senses. Part of what we read in this particular psalm is when he was deluded, when he was deceived. And in that critical time period, when he was contemplating the prosperity of the wicked, he made some statements over here. I will prove to you that's not accurate. The devil gave him those thoughts, and he was entertaining those thoughts. But verse 1 is the conclusion after he came to his senses. He said this, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart." I want you to know this is fact. God is good to those that are pure in heart. Now, the devil, on the other hand, wants us to believe that God isn't good to those that are pure in heart. Of course, we know the devil was a liar. We know the devil's a liar. If you would check all the way through this psalm, you would find out this is exactly what Asaph said in his state of deception regarding the wicked. Listen to this. Asaph said, "The wicked have no struggle. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. They are carefree and they increase in wealth." Asaph, are you trying to tell me that the alcoholic and the junkie and the sex pervert has a healthy body, that they increase in wealth, that they're always carefree? You see, at this point in time when Asaph made these statements, he was deceived by the devil. And you know, that's exactly what happened to the prodigal son. He was deceived by the devil. He entertained the devil's thoughts to the place where he decided it would be better for him to leave the presence of the father and walk away from the father and go out and be with the prostitute. This man right here, listen, he made a very fatal mistake. Thank God he didn't slip, but he almost did, because the mistake was he was entertaining what the devil had told him. Any time that you hear anything that contradicts the Word of God, immediately get it out of your mind. Get it out of there quick. Because if you don't, you'll go downhill, 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 and downhill. More and more and more. And did you notice that Asaph said that he was oppressed? When all this was going on, he was oppressed. And I want you to know that if you meditate on the devil's lies, you too will be oppressed. Maybe not necessarily just how, quote unquote, God is prospering the wicked. And you know, the Bible tells us something about the wicked. I'm going to show you later on. We're not to envy the wicked. We're told very clearly not to envy the wicked. And this man, unfortunately, he disobeyed that command. He envied the wicked. And I'm going to show you more the consequences of his disobedience to that command. I also want to point out at this point in time, listen to this, he knew that the wicked, he knew that they were of callous hearts, that they were proud, they walked in violence, they were scoffers, and they were arrogant. He knew that. You see, the devil let him continue to believe that truth. The wicked are like this, but even though they are like this, look how they're blessed. They're nice and strong in body, they increase in wealth, and you're trying to live for God, and it's all in vain, Asaph. It's all in vain that you're doing that. And that's exactly what he wants us to believe. I want you to listen to this, and you can chisel this out in stone, because this is that important. The devil wants you and I to believe it's to our advantage to disobey God. That's absolutely the truth. When he came at Adam and Eve, he wanted them to think it's to your advantage to disobey what God has said. It's to your advantage not to keep yourself pure. It's to your advantage not to live by these precepts and to do what God has said. Of course, we know Jesus said he's the father of lies. And he comes at us very subtly. And you know, the devil's not even mentioned in this psalm. But I can guarantee it was either Satan himself or maybe one of his demons. They came to Asaph and was dealing with him. And whispered that thought in his mind. And because Asaph didn't reject that, he started to meditate on that thought. Well, you know, it does kind of seem like they are blessed. It does kind of seem like maybe they are living the very best kind of life right now that one can live. And, you know, it kind of does seem that maybe in vain I have kept my heart pure before the Lord. And who do you think gave him that thought? The devil. The devil gave him that thought. And I want you to know the devil won't come up to you and say, I'm the devil. I'm going to try to get you to backslide like I did Asaph. You're going to have to be alert and self-controlled, it says in 1 Peter 5:7, because Satan prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. And he came over here to devour Asaph. We're not playing a game. The devil's out for business. And he came at Asaph to devour him. And the Bible tells us, thank God, when he went into the sanctuary and he considered their final destiny, he came to his senses. That tells me two things. Number one, don't just consider this life alone, because this life is so temporary, so short. Nothing but a test. Number two, it's very important to continue to go to church, because when he went to church or the sanctuary, he heard the word of God, and all of a sudden he started to think not only on the things of this life, which is so short in duration, but also the things beyond the grave. And I want you to listen to this. The devil wants us to focus our attention only on the temporal things of this life. Only on the things of this life. The devil will never try to get you to look beyond the grave. Never. And did you notice when Asaph realized not only their final destiny, but in verse 19 it talks about their terrors, the things that they have awaiting them, the terror that's awaiting them. In other words, Asaph was enlightened by what the Holy Scriptures had to say about this place called hell. You know, the Bible tells us of hell fire. And if you would do a study on that fire, you would find out, number one, that fire is eternal, and number two, it's unquenchable. How about unquenchable fire? That's the kind of thoughts that Asaph had in his mind all of a sudden when he came to his senses. He realized, well, look what they're headed for. And the Bible tells us something else. In Matthew 13, 49 and 50, that hell is a fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the Amplified Bible says, weeping and gnashing and grinding of teeth. And I think that's a very good way to describe just the kind of destiny these wicked people have ahead of them. They have no hope. We are the ones with the hope. And I'm coming to that. And if anything should make you shouting happy, it should be the hope that you have. And the Bible tells us also in Matthew 25, 46, that their punishment is eternal. Eternal punishment. You know, I got out my thesaurus and I looked up for some synonyms for the word eternal. And I want you to listen to this. You were trying to describe exactly what it means. Eternal to someone, a little boy or a little girl. Maybe you could use some of these words to get the point across. Listen to this. Endless, continual, unbroken, continuous, continued, unceasing, incessant, ceaseless, constant, unending, enduring, persistent, relentless, uninterrupted, everlasting, perpetual, never-ending, termless, indefinite, permanent, ageless, boundless, timeless, forever, immeasurable, unfading, indestructible, always, having no limit. That's the kind of punishment they will have. That's the kind of duration. That's the kind of term, the sentence they will have in this unquenchable fire. But then on the other hand, the Bible speaks of eternal glory for the righteous. Praise God. And that's found in 2 Timothy 2:10. And of course, those same words would apply for us. Endless, continue, unbroken, continuous, continued, unceasing, incessant, ceaseless, constant, unending, enduring, persistent, relentless, uninterrupted, everlasting, perpetual, never-ending, termless, indefinite, permanent, ageless, boundless, timeless, forever, immeasurable, unfading, indestructible, always and having no limit. We will be in God's presence in glory. And the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 5, it talks about life that is really life. And that's going to happen after this low life that we now experience. I want you to know we got good days ahead. The Apostle Paul said, listen, Romans chapter 8, verse 18, he said, the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I want you to know you can't compare the two. You cannot compare the two. I know sometimes it tends to get a little rough. You tend to be a little discouraged and a little frustrated. Hang in there. If there was a scale and you put your sufferings over here and the kind of glory that's ahead of you over here, I want you to know things would tip like this. That's exactly what Paul was saying. The kind of future you have ahead of you because you know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, is unbelievable. Unbelievable. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:7 that God is going to abundantly pour out His kindness on us in the ages to come. How would you like an almighty love God? I didn't just say loving, I said a God who is love. Just to smother you in His kindness. That's the kind of future you have ahead of you. You will be ruling and reigning with God forever, Revelation 22:5. You will be in the presence of angels in joyful assembly, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. In a place where there won't be any more death or mourning, no more pain, no more sorrow, ever, never again. It's a place of comfort, Luke 16:25. Jesus said it's paradise, Luke chapter 23:43. It's glory, honor, and peace, according to Romans 2:10. That's the kind of future we have ahead of us. And I want you to listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this. No one in heaven is envying the wicked. On the other hand, everyone in hell envies the righteous. The only possible way that anybody would ever consider this temptation of the devil, that it's better not to keep yourself pure, it's better not to live wholeheartedly for the Lord Jesus Christ, is right now in this life, only thinking of this life and not thinking beyond the grave. That's the only way he could ever deceive anyone. To get us to focus our attention only on the here and now, only on the problems we face right now. That's the only way he could ever possibly deceive anyone. Just think in that place called heaven. You won't ever see anyone suffering ever again. Never again will you be tempted with fear. Never again will you be discouraged or frustrated. Never again will you be weak in body. Never again will you be lonely. Never again. It won't ever happen again. Never. Never, 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 never. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. This man called Asaph envied the wicked, the thing that we are commanded not to do. I want you please to turn with me to Psalm 37. Notice verses 1 and 2. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Look at verse 10. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. And finally, look at verse 16. Better the little with the righteous than the wealth of many wicked. Okay, I want you also to make note of the statement I quoted before. And that is, again, that we are not to envy the wicked. Proverbs 23, verses 17 and 18 say that. And I want you to take note of this. Psalm 32:10. Many are the woes of the wicked. They have many woes, many afflictions, many problems. You see, that's how I know that Asaph made these statements about the wicked when he was... Because we just found out that the wicked have many woes. They have many problems. There's no peace for the wicked, it says in Isaiah. But Asaph had a different, distorted picture of reality. And you know, that's what deception is. A distortion, when you think things are a certain way when they're not that way at all. That's called deception. And the reason he was being deceived was because he didn't even know it. He was entertaining the devil's thoughts. He thought those thoughts were his own. Let's go back to Psalm 73. I want you, please, to notice verse 13. This is what he said. And this is really what the devil was trying to get him to reconsider all along when the devil first came to him. Verse 13. Surely, positively, absolutely, no question about it, in vain I have kept my heart pure. In vain, it has been futile, useless, have I washed my hands in innocence. That's exactly what the devil was trying to get him to believe. All along, when the devil first came at him and tried to get him, first of all, see, the devil won't come at you directly, he'll come indirectly. He'll try to get us to believe what verse 13 says by trying to get us, maybe in the like with the case of Asaph, to envy the wicked. Because if you will fall for that deception, later you'll nibble at this. I want you, please, to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to see something. Verses 15 and 16. If they, and the context reveals that they refers to Abel, Enoch, Noah, and Abraham, the most righteous people that you will find in the Old Testament. If they, the most righteous, had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Now, what does that say to you? When I read that, that says to me, it is of utmost importance what we dwell on, what we think about. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, if they had been thinking of their life that they lived as wicked people before they knew Jesus, before they followed God, they would have had, statement of fact, they would have had opportunity, like Asaph, to return, to fall away. Instead of doing that, however, what kind of thoughts were they entertaining? Thoughts beyond the grave. They were thinking about this city of pure gold. They were thinking not only of this life, the life beyond the grave. I want you to look at chapter 11, verse 10, referring to Abraham. He was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Now, if Abraham knew about it, Asaph should have known about it. Did you know that Abraham knew about New Jerusalem that we read of in the book of Revelation? Right here we find out that he did. And if Abraham knew it, Asaph should have known it. And the Bible tells us something else over here in chapter 13, verse 14. I want you to listen. Hebrews 13, 14. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Again, what kind of thoughts are you entertaining in your mind? What are you thinking about in your mind? Are you thinking about the pleasures of sin for a season? Did you know the Bible actually teaches there is pleasure in sin? But only for a season. Play now, reap later, is what somebody said. The wages of sin is death, and God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Make no mistake about it. The devil wants us to think, well, no, you don't have to take sin that serious. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, you better take sin that serious. And the Bible's telling us over here about the wicked. Now, I wonder exactly who the wicked are anyway. Exactly who are the wicked? Well, let's find out over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We have a list of the wicked over here that we are commanded not to envy. The ones that have many woes. Let's find out exactly who they are. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Statement of fact. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral. Now they're being listed. The wicked are the sexually immoral, the idolaters, the adulterers, the male prostitutes, the homosexual offenders, the thieves, the greedy, the drunkards, the slanderers, the swindlers. These people are wicked. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. We are commanded not to envy them. And they have many woes. And this is the same type of person that the devil was trying to get Asaph to envy. Asaph, look at this greedy guy over here. Look at all he has. Look at all he's hoarded up. Well, Jesus told us about a man like that, a man that had a lot in Luke chapter 16. I preached a sermon one time in the past on him. Remember that rich man? I mean to tell you, he had a lot this side of the grave. But this side of the grave isn't all there is. After he died, he went to the fires of Hades, and he was in torment. That was, I'm sure, one of the kind of temptations that Asaph had to deal with. Look at that rich man. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells us of a rich man that had all these barns that he wanted to tear down and build bigger barns because he had so much abundance. Jesus said that man's a fool because he wasn't rich toward God. The most important thing that we could ever have is eternal life. Jesus said, what shall a man gain if he gain the entire world and lose himself? He cast away. What shall you give in exchange for your soul? What if you had everything this world could give? What if you lived in the nicest mansion around? What if you drove the nicest car? What if you had the best health? What if you had everything else that this world can give and you died? Jesus tells us something else in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Jesus said, listen, he said, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Also, the sun shines on the just and the unjust. He said, he told it, made it perfectly clear. There will be good times and rough times for the saved and the unsaved. So don't let the seeming good times of the wicked dissuade you from the straight and narrow path. Don't let the devil deceive you through that. Don't let the devil deceive you through that. Think beyond the grave. Be far-sighted and not near-sighted. The Bible actually says that we can be near-sighted in 2 Peter 1, and the context is referring to Christians being near-sighted, thinking only of this life. The Bible, thank God, it says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, the Bible tells us the things that were written in the past, they were written to teach us. So we can learn from Asaph exactly what the enemy was trying to do to him. And just how backsliding begins. And just how the whole process works. Did you notice when I was reading through that Asaph was oppressed? Notice, please, when he thought his pure life was in vain, at that point in time, now listen to this, Asaph was plagued. He was punished every morning in his mind. He was oppressed, his heart was grieved, and his spirit was embittered. That's exactly the kind of condition he was in when he thought, in vain I have kept my heart pure. What's the use? You see, that's what will happen. The devil, when he comes along and he's trying to get you to meditate on something that's not scriptural, he won't tell you this is what he's trying to do to you. And this is the kind of condition you'll be in when you're in the same condition that Asaph was in, where he almost slipped, where he almost backslid. I want you to know that Demas must have been here. I want you to know that prodigal son must have been there before he walked out on the Father. He was oppressed. He was tormented in his mind. You know, you can be tormented more than just in your body. One of the worst kinds of torment is that invisible kind of torment in your mind, where you're trying to figure this out, just like Asaph. I can't figure it out. I can't understand it. But praise God, when he went into the sanctuary, he heard the truth. And guess what he did? He stopped believing what the devil was telling him. Are you listening to me? I said he stopped believing what the devil was telling him. He said, "Devil, you're a liar. I'm not going to believe like that anymore. The wicked don't have it best. We are the ones that have it best. The righteous, they are the ones with the future hope." And he stopped entertaining the devil's thoughts. And things turned around. He considered his future home in glory. I tell you, you know what it says over here? It seems to tell us, listen to me, it seems to tell us that Asaph was a man that was sick in body. It seems to tell us, it seems to imply that Asaph didn't have very much money. That's why the devil came at him with that kind of temptation. It seems to say that he was probably a lonely person. But glory be to Jesus. Thank God for the entrance of God's Word brings light. When he went into the sanctuary, he heard God's Word and light on the subject came. And you know why this was written in the Bible? This was written for us today so that we could read about what happened with Asaph so the same thing doesn't happen with us. And so that we can use this and encourage others so it won't happen to some of our friends or maybe some of our relatives. We can use Asaph as an example. I don't think anyone suffered like Job. Job really went through it. I think Job went through it far more, 10 times, 100 times maybe, more than Asaph did. And you know what Job's attitude was? I'll tell you what a man he was in Job 13, verse 15. He said he thought God was the one responsible. It was really the devil. Job said, "If he slay me, yet I will hope in him." That's the kind of attitude he had. Praise God. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And you know, that's really the kind of attitude that Asaph had after he came to his senses, after he went into the sanctuary and heard the Word of God, after he got encouraged. All of a sudden, he looked at God a different way. You know, when you're oppressed and when the devil's trying to deceive you, he's going to try to distort exactly what the Bible says about God. When Asaph came to his senses, listen to this. He said that God is his guide, that God is my strength, that God is my refuge and my portion forever. And he said that he doesn't desire anything on earth. Nothing. There's nothing over here on earth that I desire. Nothing, 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 except him. That's after he came to senses. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's how it is when you're at your senses. That's the attitude you have. I want you to know the Apostle Paul suffered a lot. He went through a whole lot. But praise God, he thought beyond the grave. He thought beyond the grave, thought of the kind of future he had ahead of him. And I'll tell you, that enabled him to press on. And I know things might get a little rough, and maybe they have been rough, and they might get rougher in the days to come. But I want you to know his grace is sufficient. Glory be to God. We can rely on him. He is our refuge. He is our strength, and we can trust him, and he won't leave us. But the devil will try to get us to be deceived where we will leave him and walk out on him, just like what the prodigal son did. The father never kicked him out of the house, but the devil deceived the prodigal son to where he willingly walked out on the father. He thought he was so deceived, he actually thought it would be better to go and be with the prostitute. Just think of the kind of deception that is to experience eternal life, to know that your sins are forgiven. And then over a period of time, and I want to say this to you, and I know many of you right here, you're young in the Lord, and you're just really gung-ho, thank God for it, but I want to warn you right now. I'll tell you exactly what the devil is going to try to get you to believe in the days to come. He's going to try to get you to think over the course of time, you know, this Christian life, I'll tell you, this thing is something else. This is rough. You can't make it. The devil will tell you that. He's a liar. You can make it. With his help, you continue to rely on him, you can make it. He's going to try to get you to think, whew, I don't really know. This is supposed to be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Sometimes I don't feel like shouting. Sometimes I get very depressed. Sometimes I'm lonely. Sometimes I'm fearful. I don't understand what's going on here, especially with the prosperity message. That's the kind of ideas that people get in their mind. Paul said, all that live godly in Christ Jesus, they might be persecuted. No, he said, they shall be persecuted. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they might persecute you. No, he said, they will persecute you. You needn't wonder if persecution will come. It won't. May become. It will definitely come. Are you listening? You can chisel that out in stone as well. It's coming. So you better prepare yourself for it. It's coming. But I want you to know that you'll be able to stand as you continue to look to God. You'll be able to stand as you continue to look to Him. And think about beyond the grave, and not only this life, not only the temporary, not only the short things of this life. Asaph, after he came to his senses, he also changed his view regarding himself. Changed his view regarding God and himself. And he said, it's good to be near God. The prodigal son, when he was backsliding, he thought it would be better for him not to be near God, instead to go and be with the prostitutes. And I want you to listen to this. After Asaph came to his senses, his attitude about the wicked changed. He no longer looked at the wicked like he did before. And you listen to me, and remember this. If you start to think that maybe the wicked have it better than you, it shows something about your heart. It shows something about what the devil's doing to you, how he's getting the victory in your life. Asaph, after he came to his senses, this is what he said. Listen to this. He said, they are on slippery ground. Suddenly they will be destroyed. They will be completely swept away by terror. They will perish. The unfaithful will be destroyed. That's what he said. That wasn't his attitude when he was deceived. His attitude before was, no struggles, bodies healthy and strong, free from the burdens common to man, not plagued by human ills, they're carefree, they increase in wealth, and therefore he envied them. But you see, his attitude changed when he thought beyond the grave. He thought about their final destiny. I want you to know we have a final destiny. Right now, testing time for us. Never, 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 never again, ever will we ever be tested again. Only this side of the grave. Are you listening to me? This is it. This is it. So spend the time in the Word and control your thoughts and think beyond the grave. Think about New Jerusalem. Think about the opportunity you have in this life to serve God and to make the most of every opportunity and to bring forth fruit and to live a life pleasing in God's sight. Make the most of it, because when you stand before the Lord Jesus, we're going to have to count for everything. And if you missed it, if you stumbled like Peter, just get up on your feet and change and say, well, this is it. I might have missed it before. Maybe I said some things before that I shouldn't have said. God, forgive me. And from that point in time on, from today, Satan, I want you to know that things are different in my life. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ like I never did before. and go at it, and go at it, and hang in there, and be persevering, the Bible says. Be diligent, the Bible says. And you know, that's one of the nice things about coming to church, that besides hearing the Word of God, we have an opportunity to encourage one another. And you know, we all need encouragement. You know, even the Apostle Paul needed encouragement. Did you know that? The faith of others encouraged him. And when you're down, thank God we can get together and pray one for another and gang up on it. We can put our faith together and blast the devil away and love one another. Like with Sister Marion this morning, we ganged up on that problem in her body. Glory be to Jesus. And that's what we can do one with another. And that's why we need to come together. And that's why the devil will try to get you to stop coming to church. Are you listening to me? If I was the devil, that's exactly what I would try to do. I'd try to get you not to read the Bible, not to go to church. Don't believe this message. Meditate on something that's not in here. Don't control your thoughts. Just let your mind fly free. Here, try a few of these thoughts. Envy the wicked. Go ahead. Look at how good they have it. There's no problems that they face like you. You're living for Jesus and people hate you. And they reject you. And they say all these evil things about you. Look at them. Look at all the pleasure they're having in sin. But the devil won't say, it's only for a season. He won't tell you that if you meditate on my thoughts, you'll be oppressed. You'll be tormented in your mind every day and embittered in spirit. The devil won't tell you that. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to know that we have exciting days ahead. We have exciting days ahead. We have exciting days ahead. But right now, the devil is prowling around, trying not just to scratch us, not just trying to deter us. I want you to know he means business. He's trying to devour us. And that's why we have to mean business in this battle that we're in. This is a battle. This is a war. Are you your brother's keeper? Yes, you are. And you will give an account for that. If Asaph had only realized this, the power of influence in his pure life, just living that pure life, well, the devil will say, you go ahead and sin and you can go and repent later on and get back right with God. Things won't be the same. You can, like the illustration, you can drive a nail on a post, pull the nail off, but there'll still be a scar on that post. I'm not saying that the blood of Jesus won't cleanse you of that sin. Will. But I'll tell you what, to some small degree, like what happened with David, he really paid even years afterwards for his sin of adultery. And the devil never told him that when he was lusting after Bathsheba. Give the devil no place, no foothold. Abstain from all appearances of evil. All of them. The battle's in your mind. You control your thoughts. And when the devil comes at you, he'll come tempting you in your mind. And if you let your mind just fly free, the devil's going to have a field day on you. And you will be oppressed. And you will start to backslide if you don't backslide. But thank God, I want you to know, there's a man in the New Testament I already referred to, prodigal son. He did backslide. Went far away from the father. But you know, when he wanted to come home, the father never kicked him and said, get away from me. You rejected me, now I'm rejecting you. Get out of here. No, the father never said that. I mean to tell you, he was happy to see him come home. He ran after him, wrapped his arms around him. He was so glad to see his change of heart. And I want you to know that's exactly how God feels about us. When you turn away from the Lord like the prodigal son, or like Demas, or you start to entertain the devil's thoughts like Asaph, remember that. You're going to have to talk with people in the days to come as you share your faith. And they'll tell you that at one time they knew the Lord and they slid away. And you remind them of Luke chapter 15, where the prodigal son came back and the father took him in, welcomed him. Glory be to Jesus. And that's how he feels about us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I'd like to say this in conclusion. Number one, Satan has many subtle temptations. Many of them. This is just one of his most subtle, to envy the wicked. To envy a life that excludes God, to go and do your own thing. To go out to some worldly bar to find some kind of friendship. That's the voice of the devil. The second thing I want you to know is, this life isn't all we must consider. In conclusion, remember, you consider the afterlife with this life to get the full picture. Because this life really can't even in any way, shape, or form be compared with what's ahead of us. This life means nothing. Nothing. Except to live for Him. And number three, the first step in backsliding, which leads to oppression and torment in the mind, is entertaining the devil's thoughts. And Satan will say it's to your advantage to disobey God. And anything that contradicts God's word is the voice of the devil. And that's why it's important to memorize Scripture. Are you listening? It's important to memorize Scripture so that you know the Word of God. If the devil gives you some kind of thought like that, well, look, you should be like these wicked people. No, you could know immediately, envy not the wicked. Many are the woes of the wicked. Immediately you'd know. But that's the voice of the devil. I'm not going to give him a foothold. I'm not even going to think on that thought. Say right now, Asaph was not meditating in the Scriptures when he was going through all this. Are you listening to me? He was not meditating in the Scriptures, and that certainly opened up the door for the enemy to come in. Instead, he was meditating on or considering the benefits of a wicked life. And I just want you to see one final thing. I checked out a word in Hebrew, and I'm going to close with this, going back to Psalm 73. Verse 3, Psalm 73:3. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. When he saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know what that word saw means in the Hebrew? When he considered the prosperity of the wicked. That shows that it wasn't just some kind of passing glance. Oh, okay, well, I see this blasphemer over here lives in a nice mansion. He has a healthy body. He's not lonely. I want you to know that he said, huh, how can this be? Why is it like this? Why doesn't God punish them? You know, if God punished the wicked right now, people would serve God for the temporal benefits of it. Now, I'm not saying the wicked don't get punished right now, because they certainly do. With AIDS and some of these other diseases and all these other problems that they have. But I'm saying, much of what the wicked do, there is no apparent wrath from God right now. And I want to say this too. A lot of things go on in a person's life that's not apparent. And you can say, that person really hasn't made, and you don't realize what kind of struggle that wicked person's going through, just because they have a smile on their face. When I worked in the industry, there was this one secretary. I never seen anybody in my life smile as much as her. That's absolutely the truth. She smiled continuously. She always had a smile on her face, day in and day out, and day in and day out, and day in and day out, and she was wicked. But I want you to know one thing. Many are her woes. She has no peace in her heart. Never envy a person like that. They might be smiling on the outside, but what's going on inside? They have an emptiness in their life. And you know, they're really searching for the very thing that you already found. The very thing that you have already found. If everything was brought out, they would envy you. If all the facts were laid on the table and everybody was at their right mind, the wicked would envy you. Even if you don't have anything. Listen to this. If the facts were laid out in Luke chapter 16, that rich man that ended up in the fires of Hades, he would have envied Lazarus, the beggar who was a sick man, a weak man, had running sores all over his body. He couldn't even fight off the dogs. The dogs came and licked his body. If that rich man was at his right mind, he would have envied that beggar who didn't have any material possessions, who was sick in body. He was lonely. I'll tell you right now, that rich man's envying him right now. And I'll tell you right now, that beggar is no longer a beggar. He no longer has pain in his body. He is no longer all alone. Hallelujah. This psalm has a lot of meat in it. I recommend that you go over this when you get home. Meditate on this. Before I prepared this sermon, I thought I understood the contents of this psalm, and I thought, there is a lot of good material in here to preach a sermon on. Then I started to prepare for this sermon, and God just started to reveal all these things to me I shared with you this morning. And I want you to know, I think this is one of the most important parts of the entire Old Testament for us today. Because people are falling away. Did you know that Jesus said, did you know that the apostle said, listen, that in our day and age that many would fall away. That's one of the reasons why this psalm right here is so important. So that we can learn from what almost happened to Asa. Thank God it did. Thank God it did. And you know, this was a song that they sang in the early church. Do you know the book of Psalms? That was their song book. They sang this song right here about what almost happened to Asaph. That when he went into the sanctuary, he came to his senses. When he considered the final destiny of the wicked, that he came to his senses. When he considered his future home in glory, he came to his senses. And then when he was considering the devil's thoughts, he was oppressed. But after he came to his senses, all of a sudden he had a different view of living wicked and a different view of keeping your heart pure. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. One final verse. I want you to turn here with me, please. This is found in Mark chapter 8. Two verses. 36 and 37. I referred to it before. If you don't have this underlined or circled, I think it would be a good idea. Jesus said, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? What's the obvious answer? You can't give anything in exchange for your soul. Your soul is that important. Brother, I want you to know you have the best thing going. Sister, I want you to know you have the best thing going because your heart is pure. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. We are the ones that Jesus is coming back for. We are the few. The many will end up in hell. We are the ones that have our name written in the book of life, not the wicked. Glory be to Jesus. We are the ones that are going to reign with Jesus. Reign with Jesus with at least one crown on your head, with a clean white linen robe. I can hardly wait. That's the kind of future we have ahead.